everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
And the weekend's tonight with a great matchup for week 13 at the quarterback position. Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, they met twice in college in the Big Ten and split there, and Russell 2-1 in their meetings in the NFL. Our coverage begins with Monday Night Countdown at 6.
The truly bold performance on Sunday was the Broncos. That's me. I'm sorry. The truly bold performance on Sunday was the Broncos with 9 seconds to go in the tie game. Drew Locke making his first NFL start, throwing deep against the Chargers. What could possibly happen? It's the Chargers. This happened. The pass interference penalty on Casey Hayward sets up Brandon McManus's game winner from 53 yards. Bang. The Broncos win 23-20 and all eight Chargers losses. They've been 7 points or less.
Yeah, they just keep finding new ways to lose. Now, I like watching football in the snow, and I also enjoyed watching you in the snow there tonight. That was lovely.
And none of it has piled up on me.
Yes,
around
even
the horn is next in PTI Monday Night Countdown. See ya.
The play of the season. 5 guys lined up one way, 4 guys lined up another way. Punter and kicker like, hey, what do you want from me? It's called Mountaineer Shot. We'll do the upshot
of that.
And Lamar's win and Tom and Nick's loss. And what happened to that bed? Let's go.
That's push weight, Tony.
If you're in the hedges, can you see the tree?
Coming out in SWAT gear and getting that win. Wearing they started at t-shirts and losing? We'll get to that later. Texans 28, Patriots 22. This play. Houston pulling out everything to finally beat New England. And now the complete and utter panic of a 10-2 team plummeting to the 2 seed. Brady needed the last completion or he'd be under 50% in back-to-back games for the first time since anybody? I'll ask you
Never.
That question.
Never.
Never.
2003.
That's exactly. Not even at Michigan. Not at Huda Becerra. Nowhere. He didn't play Pop Warner. That's a wow stat. So what the Texans announced last night. But first, Frank Isola, I know you want to focus on the Patriots. What did you see from Brady? What did you hear from Brady?
Well, you know, you see him on the sideline, the way that he's yelling at his teammates. But to me, it's more about his body language. He looks so frustrated with himself. Yes, the talent is in there, but he's not getting it done. At halftime, he was 7 of 19, 82 yards. This is indoors. This is Tom Brady. It's a stadium where he's won 2 Super Bowls before. Yeah. He's the one that's not getting it done, and the frustration is all over his face.
He did say we're 10-2. He did say today on the morning radio, he does, that this was motivating his teammates. Do you believe this year is different, though, Frank Isola?
I definitely do. Plus, they're trending the wrong way. Look what they've done the last couple of times that they've been on the road, the teams that they've lost to. I just think with Gronkowski gone, Antonio Brown no longer there, they just don't have the talent. Nobody gets separation. To me, it's about talent, and he just doesn't have it, and he's declined a little
Kevin
bit.
Kevin Blackstone, what did you see from Brady yesterday? What are you seeing from these Patriots? Time to panic, blah, blah, blah. We've done this before. Is it true this time?
Well, it may be a little bit more true this time because Tom Brady is a little bit older and because there are teams like Texans who have figured out a way to make him struggle. 23% passing completion rate when he was blitzed yesterday. That's not very good. That's not going to get it done. But you know, the other part of this is that they got off to a great start this year. 8-0. They were averaging 31 points a game. Last 4 games, 3 of which, by the way, were on the road, they've only averaged 18 points a game. So they've got to find offense somewhere, but it's not all over for them. I mean, we have seen teams with great defenses be able to rebound with offenses that are not as good as
I'm glad you bring that up. I'll give you a hosting co-credit today, Kevin Blackstone. We turn to Woody Page in Denver. Woody, you saw Peyton Manning in his last season have struggles. The team still was able to overcome that and win a Super Bowl because of their defense. What do you see with Tom Brady and the Patriots?
Well, I saw that same situation developing for the Patriots, that they become so reliant on their defense. Well, Houston found a way to solve that defense yesterday, not only the offense, but if you look at Brady and his frustration, you're seeing a team that may be the worst since the year that he got hurt in the first game and didn't play the rest of the year. I'm really believing it. This team does not have the security blanket in Gronkowski. It doesn't have the wide receivers that it's had in the past. If it's not Edelman, if it's not White, they don't have the running game. Offensively, they were solved yesterday, as I said, by the Texans. Did you see that blitz by Bradley Roby where he was there in less than 3 seconds? Yeah. I mean, that's the way you beat the Patriots, and that's what the Broncos did in another year in the playoffs. And if they have to go on the road in the playoffs, this is a team that is not going to go back to the Super Bowl.
George Sedano, what are you seeing?
Tony, this is what age and erosion looks like. At this stage, at 42 years old, yes, he doesn't have the talent that he's used to having around him. But because of that, we're now seeing age become a real factor. Since week 4, he's basically been Mitchell Trubisky. He's 30th as far as passing attempts is concerned.
Okay, you got the stats to back this up. All right, good. Let me hear him. Yeah.
He's 29th in quarterback rating in that scenario. And they're 1.69 points per possession. And to put that into context, that's worse than the Dolphins since
week 4. Who is this man in Plasma One? Stat Man. That's what we're going to call you now.
This is a real problem for New England because they don't have an identity since Gronk. And yes, the defense has to carry him. So they're going to have to figure some stuff out quickly. And maybe it is bringing Antonio Brown back.
I still have to get back to their record. They're 10-2. They plummeted to the 2 seed right now, and they're still clear. I mean, it's 8-4 for Houston, 8-4 for Kansas City, Frank Isola. Is it really that bad?
No, I would say this, though. Lamar Jackson picked them apart. And then, you know, as poorly as Brady had played, when they got to within 21-9, you know, in the past, New England makes a stop there. They get the ball back, and then they end up scoring. Houston marched right down the field. That's, you know, that happens to the Jets. That happens to, you know, the Redskins. It doesn't happen to the Patriots. And really, from top to bottom, they just look like they're losing it a little
bit. Can I ask this? What do the Texans get for beating the Patriots besides being completely ignored by you people? Kevin Blackstone, you can answer first.
Well, they get to smile for about a week, and then they got to look at their schedule and know that they have the Titans, who may be playing better football than them right now, over the last month of the year twice. So that is really going to be the deciding factor in their season. But like you said in the opening, Tony, I mean, they pulled out everything in order to beat the Patriots, and they beat them and frustrated them, and that's got to be.
Woody Page, did you see something from Houston that makes you think this year is different for them?
Well, I saw them get a little breathing room against those Titans, number one. Number two, because of the state of the conference, they have a good chance to get a home field in the first, get a bye in the first round and then a home field. So I think those are important ingredients if they're going to be successful this year. What have I seen in the Texans? They finally got healthy on defense. They hadn't had those cornerbacks. I mentioned Roby earlier. He was an outstanding player for the Broncos before going down there. He made 2 gigantic plays on, and then they got their 2 safeties back. With a healthy secondary, they're a lot better
George
team
Sedano.
Than you see it.
It's Deshaun Watson. It starts and ends with him. He's got playmakers to work with as well, particularly in that receiving core with Stills, Hopkins, and Fuller. That's the big difference. They're amongst the elite now in the AFC, Tony. There's only 4 teams there, and they're in that group.
It's interesting that you say it that way, because you were maybe, in your own words, at that level until you used a word that is banned on this year's program, George Sedano. Take a back seat. We'll move on. Ravens 20, Niners 17. You did not learn that Justin Tucker is ice. On ice. In ice. You already knew that. But from the alternating fourth down, get him, fourth down, stop him, unstoppable force, immovable object, very good football game we saw yesterday in Baltimore, George, what did you learn?
In the macro, Tony, we learned they're the best team in football right now. They were a 45-1 odds to win the Super Bowl to start the season. And now they've beaten all three teams in the best division in football in the NFC West and beaten the Patriots so far this season. And no matter the conditions, they understand their identity. They're a run-first team, and that's how they want it. Running the ball, running the clock out with 6:28 to go with Lamar Jackson and
Woody company. Page, your takeaway from San Francisco-Baltimore.
Well, first of all, my takeaway from George is that he should be a judge on Masked Singer. He is the most positive guy about the Ravens I've ever seen in my life. Let's talk about the 49ers a bit.
There's a lot
we have
to
questioned them over
them.
The weeks. You know this. And they went into Baltimore in another bad situation like they found in Washington a few weeks ago and almost survived. It got down to the last moment there, as we saw, that I think the 49ers continue to prove that they're worthy of not only being in the playoffs, but winning a couple of games in the playoffs and possibly being a Super Bowl team. I wouldn't mind seeing these two teams play again later. I think they're two of the three or four best in the league, and you got a situation where they almost knocked off the team.
You're right. You're not wrong, Woody Page.
We'll win the Boys.
This is one of my favorite things you guys do on this show. That wasn't a good loss. That was a great loss. That wasn't a great loss. That was the greatest loss of all time. Kevin Blackstone, your takeaway.
Well, a loss is still a loss, and the Ravens did what they had to do. But I was surprised, and I think a lot of people were surprised, that San Francisco could go into those conditions.
Okay, so great loss. I hear you. Woody Page
gets the points back. As close as it was. Now, I will say this. And if you're playing on in perfect weather conditions, maybe Lamar Jackson runs free just a little bit more. So there is that. But I thought that their defense played really well in the 49ers. I thought their offensive play calling was great. I thought it was a great football game. And would we like to see more of this?
Yes, we would. I hear you guys. I get it. You like good games. I understand that. The idea here that I've got two panelists saying San Francisco is the story from this Baltimore win, and one of them even said you guys are too complimentary of Baltimore. Like, what else are you supposed to be? They're on one of the great runs we've seen recently. Isola, join
part
us.
Of it. And that's the thing. Lamar Jackson, his last game out, 5 touchdown passes. Everyone is ready to put him in Canton. He's struggling against a very good defense, only threw for just over 100 yards in this game. The difference was he found a way. On the game-winning drive, he converted a 4th down. Then he converted a 3rd down. Right now, when you're 4th and short, 3rd and short, he's the most dangerous option in football because his ability now, he's confident throwing the ball and he's unstoppable running the ball. So San Francisco's defense was great. I don't want to get on them. However, the biggest play of the game, they could not stop him on 4th and short and 3rd.
This game was incredible with the 4th downs. I mean, we had both teams going for it, trying to announce their presence. Sedano, a last word here. And then Blackstone. I see you there, Kevin.
Tony, as much as we love to talk about how the NFL has evolved to an aerial attack, here's a team running for over 200 yards a game, okay? There's only been a little more than
both
a handful
these
of teams
could do
that,
though. Both these teams. And San Francisco is missing two of their great running backs. And Blackstone, last word.
I was just going to say, you know, they're 12-0, the Ravens are, when Lamar Jackson runs for at least 70 yards. But, man, those yards that he had yesterday, those are some tough yards. And I just hate seeing him exposed to that week in and weekend out.
All right. That's it. No, Woody Page. No, we've been horrible. We're moving on. We're breaking. We got the Iron Bowl coming up in by herself. And I showed you this video before. There is a human who now lives in the hedges. Live green.
So far, the hedges.
You guys ready for this shot? Look at her eyes. Look at her eyes.
They're
I want a 30 for 30. Anyone knows her whereabouts, please let us know. I want a 30 for 30 dime. We'll be back. Buy or sell next. She's okay.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Corona Extra. Find your beach.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Another on the lengthy list of all-time Iron Bowls. Saban was apoplectic about 1 second at the end of the first half. He was furious after the pick 6. He was inert after the doink. But how about this? Calling it an unfair play that old Gus Malzahn had the punter out wide in that 4th down that led to the Bama penalty that sealed the game. Is Nick Saban allowed to cry unfair, George Sedano?
No, Tony. What's unfair is that a Nick Saban-led team, who is the greatest coach in college football history, was unprepared for a gimmick play. All that happened was a punter moved out to wide receiver. The quarterback was still in there, and he wasn't prepared for it. Smart job by Malzahn, bad job by Saban.
Page?
I'll tell you what's unfair, Nick. You gave up the most points since you were at Michigan State in 1999 to a Purdue team. You had more penalties than you've ever had in Alabama. And then you're a disciple of Bill Belichick, who once in a playoff game moved his entire wide receiving core inside and the offensive lineman outside. You should have been prepared for something like that from Gus, who's not going to be on the bus to Arkansas now.
Yeah, I think he was just confused. There are some rules about substitutions just to confuse the other side, but this was not a substitution. He was confused by the players who were actually on the field. Tip your helmet to Gus Malzahn.
At the end of the first half, he's 100% right about being unfair. There's no way there should have been a second left on the clock. But at the end of the game, this is Alabama. They're out of the national championship picture because their head coach, think about it, Nick Saban, got outsmarted.
Well, let's talk a little bit. Let's go deeper here. Bama's playoff chances are now all but dead. The last four games versus top 20 teams, they've allowed 34, 44, 46, and 48. I heard Paul Feinbaum start wondering about the dynasty, but not just the dynasty, about Saban's future. Fair to wonder, Woody Page?
Yes, well, not about his future, but his future without Tua, unless he goes to Tua's younger brother, because this system is not working
out. KB, though, are you getting the feeling the dynasty's over?
No, I'm not getting the feeling the dynasty over. Look, this is one year. I mean, they've been in every championship playoff that we've had so far. So let's give them a mulligan for this season.
Yeah, I'm not writing them off by any stretch of the imagination. Clemson has been dominant, but knocking off Alabama is still a pretty big deal.
Yeah, no, the dynasty's not done. Let's kind of pump the brakes.
All right, well, I'll make sure Paul Feinbaum hears that from all you guys. Oh. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. You can't spell Pittsburgh, Cleveland without a P. And that's the shirt worn by Steelers Cam Sutton. Freddie Kitchens wore a Pittsburgh Started shirt to the movies with his family Friday, and the Steelers noticed.
You just don't see that from upper management. I know our coach would have never done anything like that. Why throw gas? I know I said I want to answer, but when you do something like that, you throw your players in harm's way.
Talk was better than the game because Pittsburgh 20, Cleveland 13. Woody, buy or sell Kitchens t-shirt choice.
I'm buying it. Let's give him a break after all we've gone through with him all year long. His daughters ask him to wear it to a movie about Mr. Rogers. And Pittsburgh Steelers are turning it into, look at what they've done to it again. T-shirts
so
don't
matter.
So
that's what you wear to Mr. Rogers movie? As a T-shirt taking a shot at the other team for something that's not even fair? Look, the bottom line is this is a team that we have criticized for being undisciplined all year long, and that's led to their failures, and they lost after this t-shirt was worn to a third-string quarterback from Samford University.
This is the Kevin Blackstone. Frank Isola, how about you?
So, Kevin, you're trying to say if you wore a tuxedo to the movie on Friday, they would have won the game. This is because Pittsburgh is a better organization. They have a better culture there. Okay. Their coach is better. And despite the fact that they're shorthanded, they're still a better
team. And Sedano.
Tony, this is not about the t-shirt. They didn't win or lose because of the t-shirt, but it is unbecoming of what's supposed to be the CEO. You're supposed to be the leader. You're supposed to set a tone. In the NFL, coaches hate controversies. They hate all this stuff. And this is him bringing it upon himself after a year where he's been a complete disaster as a head coach.
Buy or sell three. Look, the Chargers played a game that came down to the last play and lost. So who could have seen that one coming? And look, a pass interference call deciding the game. Who could have seen that coming? Woody Page, you were there. What you buy, what you sell.
I'm selling that pass interference call, and I know people would say, well, you're a homer. No, I'm not a homer in this case because that shouldn't have been called. It should have been overturned. I had lunch with the replay officials, and I was asking about it. They didn't know who I was, and I just asked them about tough year.
I wanted
to go find him after the game and say why you didn't overrule that. Should have
it's
been
very existential.
Overtime.
Sometimes I wonder if you know who you are. Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
Well, I know what pass interference is, and that was pass interference, and you can see that coming from a mile away.
So you're
away
all right with that call?
Backs.
Deciding
I'm
the
all
game.
Right with that call. Yeah, the defensive back's got to be more aware.
If you think it's pass interference, it should be called, but I agree with Anthony Lynn. I do not believe that was pass interference. That's two guys going for the ball at that time of the game. No
George
call.
George Sedano.
Yeah, I don't think it's pass interference, and the Chargers have bigger things to worry about than that one particular call. They had a lot of opportunities to win that game. That one call didn't.
Yeah, it's almost like they chargered themselves during this game. Every game this team plays, what time immemorial in the franchise's history. Woody Page, I'm glad you had a little lunch with the
unfair
replay booth. Kevin Black is on taking one too. A Sedano Isola showdown. And fellas, long weekend, so let's catch up what we missed. Stephen F. Austin winning at the buzzer at Duke. Oh, that is legend stuff. Joe Burrow walking out Cajun style. That is icon status. But losing your egg because you went to the dog urination celebration. Bad dog. Bad dog. Showdown next.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Around the Horn is brought to you by CDW. CDW, people who get it.
The Dolphins fake field goal, automatically on the list of all-time greatest fakes. And it wasn't even surprise we're faking it. It was, here we go, deal with it. Look at this. And that wasn't the only way they beat the Eagles. They beat the Eagles just about every way in this game. Shocking to see Philly lose a must-win game after losing a must-win game. But also this weekend, Philly lost to Miami. Carolina lost to Washington after being up two touchdowns. The Jets lost to Cincinnati, who finally get a win this season. George, who should be most embarrassed by Sunday?
Tony, it's not the Dolphins. They've been playing well. It's Carolina. They were up 14-0, as you mentioned. They were the biggest favorite on the board at 9 points of the teams that you mentioned. And they gave up 3 rushing touchdowns to Washington. They'd only had that many through 11 weeks up until that week.
George, Philadelphia has a chance to win the division. On Thursday night, Dallas loses at home. Everything is right there for the Eagles. They go down to Miami and lose. By the way, since they won the Super Bowl, they're 15-15. But I get it. They beat the Patriots once, so now they got to pass forever, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Inconceivable that they lose that game. And they should have lost that game. Look, that was the greatest fake I had ever seen. We'll move on.
Brian Flores, baby.
After losing the rivalry game because the dog urination celebration moved your extra point back to a kick, everyone knew it would be missed. And by the way, the receiver still strutted around with the belt after this. Coach Matt Luke fired. Ole Miss offensive lineman Chandler Tuitt, quote, there's no program without players, end quote. Tuitt said half the team is talking about leaving. Frank, where do you come down on firing a coach after losing the dog urination game and the team threatening to walk out?
You know what? I was watching this game live. The tryptophan hadn't kicked in yet. You know what? That's a terrible way to lose. But when are the players going to realize the college presidents and ADs, they're listening to the boosters, not the players? It's unfair.
Look, he's been put in the ultimate doghouse, and it's an emotional moment for these kids. But the facts are he was 6-18 in SEC play. Only Vandy and Arkansas were worse.
The SEC.
Kids got to have to get over
it. The SEC.
Like George Dana was inhibited by it just Woody inhabited his body for a second with that dog joke. Point, FaceTime, Frank Isola.
All right, in the aftermath of Alabama's stunning loss to Auburn, the kicker, Joseph Bulovas, who missed the potential game-tying field goal doink off the post, he's since apologized. Why is he apologizing? It's his fault they lost that game. Is Nick Saban going to apologize? How about the 2 pick sixes? Is that the responsibility of the field goal kicker? How about the defense, which gave up all those points? Why does the field goal kicker feel the need to apologize? Is Jim Harbaugh, is he apologizing for what happened in Michigan? Leave the kicker alone. You don't need to apologize to anybody. It's not your fault.
Today's winner, Frank Isola. That's going to do it, folks. It's not your fault, Woody. It's not your fault. 23 and a half hour break.